en este lugar en esta noche. How many believe the Holy Ghost is strong in this place tonight? Que nuestro Dios está aquí. That our God is here. Y con él nada es imposible, pero todo es posible con él. And with him nothing is impossible, but all things are possible with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord for just a minute. Amen. And let me also say thanks to everybody that is working for our Fall Fest, and those of you that are going to be working for the Fall Fest, and those of you that wish you could work for the Fall Fest, just wish a little harder. Amen. Praise the Lord. So thank you so much tonight. Amen. And I appreciate each one here tonight and all that you do to help make this church a going church and a growing church. Amen. Amen. And we appreciate all of you. Thank you. Amen. All right. Good to have Evangelist Bacon back with us tonight. Amen. We missed the Bacon family on Sunday. They were out having revival in the neighboring city. But good to have them back tonight. Amen. All right. Well, let's stand together. Praise the Lord. And our kids can be dismissed and uproom youth. Amen. And you and I tonight are going to turn in the Bible to the book of Psalms. I'd like to go to the 37th Psalm, Psalm 37, and read a couple of verses, verse 23 and verse 24. Amen. My voice is a little raspy tonight, but I hope you can put up with it, because I'll have to. Amen. But we'll do our very best to get through here. Amen. All right. Psalm chapter 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen. I'd like to talk to us tonight about how to recover from a fall. One of the most embarrassing things that happen to human beings is when we fall. Anybody ever fail? What's the first thing you do? Look to see if anybody saw you. And then after that, you start looking to see if you're hurt. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. We were in Costa Rica, language school. We were after service. Cars there are very small. They don't have, for the most part, larger cars like we do, and many people do here. And so usually if there are several people, you have to take several cars. So my wife and Cherie were going to ride with the pastor's wife in one taxi, and then the pastor and I were going to go in another taxi because they're small cars. And so I said goodbye and started walking off. Then I turned around to look, make sure they were okay. And I saw my wife, but I didn't see Cherie. I thought, well, where did she go? And all of a sudden, I saw her trying to get up and ran back to see what was going on, and she was down in a hole. You see, in some of those countries, like out here at the curb, you know, where we've got those drains, storm drains. Well, they take those metal covers off of there and use them for barbecue grills. So you never take for granted there's going to be a top on it. Same thing with a manhole cover. You don't ever run over a manhole cover because it probably won't be there. It'll probably just be a hole because they're metal, and they take them and either sell them or use them as a grill to cook on. So they'd taken the grill off, and when Cherie stepped off the curb, she just, boom, disappeared. And we were all excited and all beside ourselves, you all right, you all right, trying to help her get out of the hole. And she was trying to do away with all the fuss, and She said, "Oh, Mom, don't worry. I just fell in a gringo catcher." The Costa Ricans knew better. They knew how to step over them. So the gringos fall in because we expected some help to be there. Amen. But I want to talk tonight about how to recover from a fall. There was a man by the name of Bobby Leach. Bobby Leach came to the United States. He was an Englishman. Came to the United States, jumped in a barrel in the Niagara River, went over Niagara Falls in a barrel. That is a very stupid thing to do. But the Lord smiled on Mr. Leach, and he was okay. He went back home to England, walking down the street, stepped on an orange peel, and broke his leg. Amen. You just never know, do you? Amen. You'll think you're doing good. You'll do something stupid, and God takes care of you. And then you'll just try to be doing something normal, and you'll have a fall. But it's important tonight to know how to recover from a fall. Amen. It's almost sure that we're going to fall. As a matter of fact, the prophet Micah wrote it this way. He said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. He said, "I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will shine a light unto me." So you've got to have an attitude that whatever happens, I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk again. I'm not staying down. One of the first things the devil will tell you if you fail is just to give up. You're not any good. You're a hypocrite. You don't need to go back to church. Those people don't want you there anyway. Nobody cares about you. Amen. Nobody cares. And if they knew what you'd done, they would really look down on you and all of those lies. Everybody say lies. Because they're all lies. Amen. Everybody here has taken a fall. And everybody here got back up because you're here tonight. If you hadn't got back up, you wouldn't be here. You'd still be falling. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God for recovery tonight, that we can get up. Amen. And then we can go on. You know, if a baby was afraid to fall, it'd never learn to walk. It'd just stay down. Those little rascals, they fall over all the time, constantly. Amen. But they get up and they go again. Amen. And they just keep doing that. And after a while, they get pretty good at it. And after a few years, they hardly ever fall. And it's just the way it is. Spiritually, you're going to make some bobbles along the way. You're gonna fall along the way, but you get up and it'll get longer and longer and longer between the falls. If you'll just keep working and letting God work with you, it'll get further between the falls and you'll have greater success living for God. There's a fall in the Bible that gives us a pretty good indication of some things that happen before a person falls. There are some steps that we often go through before a fall. Let's look at that tonight. If you'd go with me to the book of Luke. To the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter. Verse 31 to 33. The Lord is speaking to Peter here. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And here's Peter's reply. He said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." In other words, Peter's saying, "I don't really need your prayers. Thank you much. I'm tough enough to make it on my own. I will not fall. I will not fail. I'd rather go to prison. I'd rather die than fall. Amen. You see, a boasting spirit goes before fall. Pride goes before a fall. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. When you get confident and boastful, that's why the Bible talks about how to restore a brother. It said that when somebody falls, it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. And get this, considering also yourselves, lest you fall. You see, we can never get to the place if somebody falls that we can just jump on them and badmouth them and talk about them and put them down in a spirit of pride and haughtiness, because if you do that, you're setting yourself up for a fall. It will not be long before you're going to fall also. I have observed that many times in spiritual experience, that people would get haughty and proud and boastful, and it wasn't long before they would go. I've known some people that were very hard on other people, and they were extremely difficult toward others, very critical. Then in a period of time, most of the time, they would completely be gone back to their old life, because they got a haughty spirit and a proud spirit and a boastful spirit. Amen. So when those things begin to rise, you need to check your spirit. You need to humble yourself. You need to understand that I'm headed the wrong way. When you get to thinking that you're doing just really good, and that nobody else is doing as good as you. Amen. I wish everybody could do like me. What is it the guy said? He said, faults in others I can see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. Amen. That's a spirit that'll cause you to fall right there. It'll get you every time. It'll get you every time. Amen. What was the other fellow? He said to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with those we know, oh, that's another story. Amen. And it is. All of us are pilgrims on a journey. Not one of us has it made tonight. All of us have to be very careful. So watch out for pride. Watch out for boasting. Be careful lest you get a haughty spirit. Amen. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but He lifts up the humble. And so be careful lest those things begin to sneak their way into our lives and cause us to fall. And then verse number 46, Luke 22, Jesus said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Another thing that will cause us to fall is prayerlessness. Prayerlessness causes carelessness, and carelessness leads to a fall. So we must remain prayerful. Not a one of us tonight can make it on our own. We are covered with this stuff called flesh, and it is subject to temptations. Brother Davis used to say that if the Lord can't, by the devil can't jerk you back, he'll just shove you forward. He don't care how you go down, just as long as you go down. And I've watched both things happen. I was standing on a parking lot one time, and this lady was walking toward me, and all of a sudden I saw her as she kind of trembled or stumbled a little bit, and then she got faster and faster until finally she fell over. And I felt so bad because I couldn't reach her in time. She didn't fall backwards, she fell forward. And so it doesn't matter whether you fall back or fall forward, you still fall. And I don't know if you've ever fallen forward, but that hurts just as bad. It just hurts. And so the devil, he'll try to pull you back. But if he can't pull you back, he'll just tell you how good you are. Not only how good you are, but how much better you are than everybody else. And now that you really, you know, you really don't need anybody else. Everybody needs you, but you don't really need anybody. He'll even tell you that you don't need a church and you don't need a pastor. You're just too good. I mean, you're doing so great. You don't need anybody. And man, you ought to be, instead of listening, you ought to be doing the teaching. You ought to be doing the preaching because you're doing so good. Watch out. Watch out. He's trying to shove you forward and make you fall. Amen. And so prayerlessness is one of those things that will cause us to fall. The Bible teaches us pray without ceasing. How do you do that? Don't you have to talk sometimes? Probably, but probably a lot less than most of us do. Somebody said, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Amen. That's right. He gave us two ears and one mouth because he wanted us to listen at least twice as much as we talk. But most people I know would gladly trade an ear for a mouth any day. Amen. And wouldn't the world be a mess if the Lord had made us with two mouths and one ear? It would have been a horrible place to live. But God knows what he's doing. Amen. So how do you pray without ceasing? You stay in a spirit of prayer. Amen. You just maintain a fellowship with the Lord. You've noticed this. It's a great thing. It's wonderful to be around old friends. People that you don't have to talk to all the time. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you're striking up a friendship, silence is uncomfortable because, well, you're trying to get to know one another. But after you know one another, you can be comfortable not say anything. Just your fellowship's enough. Just the communion of spirit with spirit and just being with them because you have formed a bond. And it's like that with the Lord. Yes, we talk to him. But just being in his presence and knowing that he walks with us and we walk with him and he's just a prayer away, just a word away. That's praying constantly, or praying without ceasing. You're always in his presence. And you know that when you speak, he'll hear and he'll respond. That's the confidence that a life of prayer brings. Amen. And so the Bible teaches us that we've got to pray. Jesus said if you don't pray, he said you'll enter into temptation. Amen. What did the Lord's Prayer teach us? He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. So prayer is the lifeblood of a Christian. None of us can be strong unless we pray. Amen. Somebody said 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. And that's true. Luke chapter 22 and verse 50. If you don't pray and you got an old boastful, proudful spirit, this is what happens. It said one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. You know who that was, right? That was the old fisherman. That was the one that said, oh, these other guys might fail, but not me. I never will. I'll follow you to prison. I'll follow you to death. And man, whenever the servant came and tried to lay a hand on the Lord, he jerked out his sword and cut his ear off. Amen. You know what? Most people would rather fight than pray. Mm-hmm. It's easier to fight than pray. You say that again. It's easier to fight than pray. Prayerlessness generally brings a fighting spirit. Amen. Somebody says something and boy, all of a sudden you get your shackles up. The spirit rises up in you and you're going to defend yourself. Amen. You're going to show them how much Holy Ghost you got. what one girl said to another one. They were having a little spat. One of them said, "Well, I thought you had the Holy Ghost." She said, "You step out here, I'll show you how much Holy Ghost I got." An old fighting spirit rose up. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Am I just preaching to the walls? Or I know what that's like. I told you about that guy run me off in the ditch. I was doing 70 miles an hour, and I hit the ditch flying and trying to keep my car upright. As soon as I got back on the highway, man, I hit the gas pedal. I was going to go talk to him. And I got up to about 95 and 100, and I was getting ready to pull up there, and I was going to, and then the Holy Ghost said, "What you going to do?" And I said, "Nothing, Lord. Just forgive, I guess." And I just let it back down. Amen. But you see, you'll get that fighting spirit. Anybody know what I'm saying here tonight? How you know, boy, it's easy. You get to wearing your feelings on your shoulders. You get thin skin. You can't take criticism. Matter of fact, you'll turn a compliment into criticism. Amen. Somebody says, "You're looking good today." Well, what do you mean? Don't I usually look good? "How are you feeling today?" What do you mean? Don't I look like I'm feeling all right? You see, you get that old fighting spirit. And it's looking to take offense at just anything anybody says. Amen. That's how you make a fall. You have to guard against that. I mean, get a spirit of peace and a spirit of joy and a spirit of righteousness and the spirit of the Lord that can just let all those things go. Jesus did, didn't he? The Bible said when he was reviled, he reviled not against them. He just blew it off. Amen. And really, all people say, they're just words. We used to have a little saying when I was a kid. I used to say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." It's one of the biggest lies I've ever heard. I've been hurt with words a lot worse than anything else. But you see, generally it's because I allowed it to happen. How can something like a word hurt us unless we accept it to be true? Just somebody saying something about you or calling you something, that doesn't make you that. You see, people cannot offend us unless we receive the offense. Let me say that again. It's easier to say than it is to do. But let me say it again. People cannot offend you unless you receive the offense. If they say bad things about you or make obscene gestures to you, it doesn't mean anything unless you make it mean something. And so, but if we got a fighting spirit, then man, we're just waiting for somebody to say something. And then we jump on it with both feet. Amen. But if we can maintain a spirit of peace, and the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Ghost help us, then we can overcome that. And we just say, "Lord, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." You know what Stephen did? Amen. Don't lay this sin to their charge. Amen. He didn't have a fighting spirit. And that's the Spirit of Christ. Amen. And then Luke chapter 22 verse 54, talking about Jesus, and they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and get these words, and Peter followed from afar off. So another thing that leads to a fall is when we try to follow Jesus from afar off. And instead of drawing near to him, we try to follow from a distance. We keep it in view. We know where the church is. We know what time church is. We know what time we're supposed to be there. We know what we're supposed to do when we get there. We have all the knowledge and the right words and all of that, but we're following from a distance. And that's a very dangerous thing to do. That was one of the things that led Peter to a fall. was because he was still following Jesus, but it was following him from afar. Amen. And that can happen. And then what happens is what happened to Peter next. Verse number 55 said, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down, Peter sat down among them." Instead of being with Jesus, instead of being with the Lord, instead of standing up like he said he would, instead of following him closely like he said he would, instead, he was sitting with his accusers. He was sitting with those that condemned the Lord. You see, when you follow the Lord from afar, it's easy to start having fellowship with the world. And that's what happens to people. They don't want to get too close to Jesus. They don't want to get too sold out. They want to maintain their distance. They want to maintain their sovereignty and their identity. And so the next thing you know, they fellowship with the world. And what the world thinks means more than what the Lord thinks. And what the world says means more to them than what Jesus said. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We got to be careful, folks. Amen. Those old attitudes will rub off on you. Those old spirits will get a hold of you. You'll get to sitting around too much and get too far from the Lord. Amen. That's why every service, we need to get just as close to him as we can. Every morning when we get out of our bed, we need to start our day trying to get close to Jesus. Before we close our eyes at night, we need to get just as close as we can to Jesus. Don't follow from afar, because if you're not careful, fellowship with this world becomes important to you. The next thing you know, you'll want to look like the world. And you'll begin to talk like the world. And you'll begin to act like the world. You'll still claim to be a Christian. You'll still know how to talk like a Christian when you're around Christians. You'll still know how to look like one when you want to. But the fact of the matter is, in your heart, you have more affinity with the world than you do with the Lord. And you get to be more comfortable with them than you do with him. And so that's what led Peter to a fall. He started having fellowship with the world. And then ultimately, in the 57th verse, the Bible says, "And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And then he began to curse and say, I told you I don't know him. I don't know him." And so ultimately, it led to a fall. And Peter, who would ever have thought, if you had been there of all the disciples, and somebody told you that Peter was going to fall, and you would have said, oh, no, not Peter. No, he's the guy that walked on the water. He was always there where Jesus was. He was right up front. He was the most vocal of all of them. Oh, Peter, no. No, Peter, he's not ever going to fall. Oh, I wish I could be like him. But you see what happened? Even to Peter, he fell. But the fall was not fatal, because Peter had some steps to recovery. Now let me take you through the recovery here tonight. Amen. The first step to recovery is, and we find that in the 60th verse to the 62nd, "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." The first thing that happened to Peter is he remembered the Lord. And then it said, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The first step to recovery is godly sorrow. The book of Corinthians says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. When you see, you don't just feel sorry that you got caught, but you're really sorry. Godly sorrow is the fact that I have offended the Lord. I have done something that has offended the Holy Ghost, and I feel sorry because I offended Him. Even if nobody else knows about it, I still feel bad about it, and I want to change it. That's what godly sorrow is. Amen. You see, to me, that's one of the things that lets us know that we're Christians. Because there was a time in our lives when we would have kept on doing the things that we always did, and we didn't care who said anything or who it hurt. Didn't matter. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to talk like I want to talk, whether you like it or whether you don't. I'm going to live life like I want to live life. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. Take it or leave it. Isn't that what we used to say? But you see, after Jesus comes in, that changes. And when we get that old attitude, all of a sudden it dawns on us, this is not the Spirit of Christ. I can't live like this and be a Christian. I have to change. This is not what the Lord would have me to do. This is not how the Lord would have me to be. And so, godly sorrow, when we fail the Lord, we instantly recognize our failure and we want to change it. We want to change ourselves. We want to get back to where we were. And so the very first step is godly sorrow. You feel sorry that you have failed the Lord. And then the next thing that he did in Luke chapter 24 and verse 12 said, then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. In other words, Peter ran, as soon as he knew Jesus had resurrected, he ran to where he was. He ran to where he was. There was something in Peter that said, I've got to get back to the Lord. Did you ever think that what Peter did was just as bad as what Judas did? Judas sold the Lord for silver, but Peter cursed him and denied him. Is the one thing really all that much worse than the other? Then why was Judas not accepted and Peter was? It's a very simple fact. Peter came back to the Lord. Judas could have come back to the Lord, but instead, he chose to take his own life. Instead of repentance, instead of coming back to Jesus, he tried to work it out his own way. Peter came back to Jesus, and that's the next step to recovery. You feel godly sorrow, and you repent. You ask God to forgive you. You come back into His presence. You seek fellowship with Him. You seek the Lord out. You don't wait for Him to come to you. You seek Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. You find an altar somewhere. Hallelujah. Amen. You get here if there's nobody else here or not. You pray in your bedroom or the cotton patch or wherever you are. Amen. You can be like Moses out in the wilderness. You can meet the Lord at a bush. Praise God. It doesn't make any difference. Just let me make my way back to the Lord. That's what matters, is that you return to Jesus. And then finally, in John chapter 21, verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he said unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. So the third step and the final step of being restored is to love the Lord with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul and all of your strength. Amen. Peter came back to the Lord, and as they dined, do you remember how many times Peter denied the Lord? Three times. How many times did the Lord ask him if he loved him? Three times. You remember Peter said, he said, Now these may forsake you, but not me. And so the Lord asked him again. He said, Now Peter, do you love me more than these? Now Peter's learned his lesson. He didn't say, Oh yes I do, Lord. No. He just said, Lord, I love you. But there's even a deeper message here. Jesus, when he spake to Peter and he said, Do you love me? He used the word agape. It's the highest, sweetest, purest form of love. It's God-like love. It's love that just loves regardless of whether anything is reciprocated or not. It asks for nothing in return. So he said, Peter, do you love me with the love that asks for nothing in return? And Peter chose another word. He said, Philo. I love you like a friend. I love you like a friend. And Jesus asked him the second time. And he used the same word, agape. And Peter said, Well, I love you. But he used the word like a friend, philo. Amen. Peter, I think he learned a lesson, folks. I think he was kind of, there was a spirit of humility that had come upon him. And he knew that he loved Jesus. But he just wanted to be sure that he loved him. But he didn't want to exaggerate it. Amen. I've told the Lord a lot of times, Jesus, I love you, but I sure wish I could love you better. I wish I knew how to love you more than I love you now. I wish I knew how to say it better. I wish I knew how to show it better. I wish I just knew how to love you better than I do now. And I understand what Peter's saying. And so the Lord gave him a way to express his love. He didn't say, if you love me, go sit on a mountaintop and meditate for the rest of your life. He didn't say, if you love me, get all of your money and give it away. He didn't say, if you love me, the way he told him to express it, he said, I want you to feed my sheep, and I want you to feed my lambs. In other words, express your love by doing good things for others. That's how you show how you love me, is how you treat other people. Wow. Well, there's something there, huh? Isn't that how we love the Lord? You best express your love to God by how you treat your brothers and sisters. And not only your brothers and sisters, but everybody else that you come in contact with. That's how you show how much you love the Lord. Amen. It's not how loud you praise or how fast you run, or how high you jump, or how much you dance. The way you really show your love for the Lord is how you treat people. It's how you treat people. Amen. And so he said to Peter, he said, you love me and I want you to show it by feeding my sheep and my lambs. Now, brother Andrew Urshan, he was a Persian man, and he did some word studies here. He said that the Lord first told him to feed the lambs, the little ones. And in the second time, he said, feed the sheep. And then the last time, he said, feed the rams. Now, rams are hard-headed creatures. The rams are the ones always butting heads. It's easy to love the lambs. Who couldn't love a lamb? They're cute and cuddly and amen and vulnerable. Who couldn't love a lamb? It'd be easy to love a sheep. But some old rams out there butting heads and bleating and running at one another, and it's a little harder to love them, isn't it? Amen. God put some rams in all of our lives. Amen. Yes, he does. And he said, I want you to love them all. So it's a part of recovery, is learning how to love Jesus more than anything else. That's all a part of recovering from a fall. When Adam fell, it was such a long way down. Can you imagine? Adam lived in perfect bliss. He lived in a perfect paradise. He knew nothing but good. He walked every day in the pure presence of God. Sin had not appeared on the face of the earth. Everything was perfection. Until the day that Eve ate the fruit, gave it to Adam. Adam ate, and we call that the fall. And oh, what a fall it was. I can't even imagine what that was like. You see, I know what a fall is like, but I don't know what perfection is like. I don't know what it's like to be perfect. I don't know what it's like to be in a situation where there is no sin, because the world that I live in is full of it. The atmosphere is filled with evil spirits and evil people all around. The Bible said that in the last days, it said that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. And isn't that true? Everywhere we look, I'm not talking about people that have problems. I'm talking about evil people. What's an evil person? An evil person is he just wants to hurt and destroy. He wants to tear up and tear down. He can't stand to see purity and innocence and righteousness. He's got to destroy that. He has to tear that down. Can't stand it. And we live in a society that's like that. It wants to take everything that's pure and turn it into filth. It even takes the language and corrupts it. Don't you hate it when people take a good word and make it something sullied and unclean and uncomfortable? What causes that? Evil. Amen. When people want to take our young people and turn them into what they have become and drag them down to their level, and tell them they can't be godly, they can't be pure, they can't be righteous, that drugs and alcohol and illicit sex are good things. Everybody does it. They're seducers. Amen. Television is full of it. Magazines and papers and books and billboards and concerts and entertainment world, it's full of that, trying to seduce and destroy and bring down That's the world we live in. It's not like the world Adam lived in, where sin had never sullied anything. Everything was perfect. Everything was pure. My, what a fall. That's why when God came at the usual time to walk with Adam and Eve, he found them hiding. How do you hide from God? You can't. When the Lord said, Adam, where are you? He wasn't asking Adam as if he didn't know where he was. He was asking Adam, where are you? And if Adam had replied, he'd say, God, I don't have the foggiest idea where I am. I know what it was like before I ate the fruit, but where I am now, I have no idea. I've never felt like this. I feel so lost. I feel so empty. I feel so violated. I feel so dirty. I feel so guilty. I feel so ashamed. I can't be in your presence. I'm trying to hide from you. I'm trying to cover up. First thing he said, I was naked. And the Lord said, you always have been. What's different now? Who told you? Sin. See, that was a fall, wasn't it? Let me tell you something. That was a fall that was not easy to recover from. All of us are still suffering from that fall. And it wasn't easy for God to recover. And then God's the only one that could make recovery possible. Nobody else could do it. But it cost him. It cost him dearly. It cost him so much. He said, the only way. See, God's dilemma was that he loved man, but he hated sin. And since sin was in the man, God had a dilemma. How can I love the man and hate the sin and not destroy the man? How do I get the sin out of the man that I love? God could not sin because he's righteous. And so he had to devise a plan. And so what he did, as he said, I will become a man. And God was manifest in flesh. Took upon himself, the book of Corinthians calls him the second Adam. And he came again. He didn't come to a perfect world. He didn't come to a sinless world. He didn't come to a world that everything was pristine and beautiful. He came to a world that hated him. He came to a world that crucified him. He came to a world that reviled him. He came to a people that rejected him. He came to a world that was filled with every kind of vile thing. And yet the Bible said he was tempted, but he never gave in. He never sinned. Not one time. He never said a bad thing. He never did a bad deed. He never got a bad attitude. He was always righteous. Wow. Talk about recovering from a fall. And then that perfect man that had never sinned and never done anything wrong came to a place in his life where God put a cup in his hands and said, drink this. And he looked into that cup, and that cup was filled with every vile, filthy sin that you can imagine. My sins and your sins were in that cup. Everything I've done, no matter how evil, how dirty, how vile, it was in that cup. Every bad thought, every evil deed, every unkind and filthy word, it was all there. And when he saw that cup, oh, everything inside of him screamed, if you can, take this cup from me. But the Bible says Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he drank that cup. And the Bible said, he who knew no sin became sin for us. And he took all of our sin upon himself, the perfect man, the God man. And then he nailed those sins to the cross. And God, the Bible said that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God took out his anger against sin upon the body and the flesh of Jesus Christ. And that's where the judgment of God came against sin, was at Calvary. And it was his blood that causes us to be able to enter today into the presence of the Lord and find forgiveness and restoration and recovery. But it cost him something. Amen. This is not a bargain basement religion, folks. This is not a bargain basement religion. Amen. This cost God so much. But he paid it so that we could be recovered. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you for your time tonight and your attention. Amen. Yes, there will be times that you will fall. And there will be times that everything in you will just say, stay down. Just give up. Throw in the towel. Turn around. Quit. Amen. But there will be that still small voice that will say, get up. Come on. Come back. Repent. Recover. I'll restore you. Amen. You can come back home again. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad there's a recovery tonight. How about you? I'm so glad that when we fall, God does not cast us off forever. But in mercy and in compassion and in kindness, he restores us. Amen. He wants to. It's his will and his desire. So we say tonight with the prophet, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, but when I fall, I will rise. Amen. I'm going to get right back up. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to stop. Hallelujah. Amen. If Peter can fall, John Grisham can fall. Any of us can fall. Amen. But we have an anatomy of a fall. We can recognize the steps before we fall. We've got to be careful when we're boastful. We've got to be careful when we're prayerless and careless. We've got to be careful when we get an old fighting spirit. We've got to be careful when we start following from afar. We've got to be so careful when we start beginning to fellowship with the world. Amen. That'll lead us to denial. We just can't let that happen. We just can't let that happen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I read this week about a couple in China. A man was visiting and he went to the house of an elderly couple. And they were such an inspiration. They were so in love with one another and their expressions were so kind and they dealt with one another so gently and so kindly. And whenever he mentioned that couple, somebody said, do you know their story? He said, oh no. Tell me the story. He said, well, they were engaged when they were very young. And then the man was arrested for being a Christian. And he was put in prison. And every year they would bring him out and they would say, if you will just recant Jesus Christ, we'll let you out. And he would say, no, I can't do that. And they'd put him back in prison again. And they'd bring him back year after year, year after year, year after year, year after year. until he was elderly. And finally they let him go. And he found that one that he was engaged to so many years before, and she was still prayerfully waiting. Amen. And they were married and lived their latter years in great peace with great love. But you see, this man, he had an attitude, I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. It means too much to me. It means more than even my fiance. It means more to me than anything. And he would not recant Jesus Christ. Amen. How about us tonight? Anybody here? Amen. If you need to recover, there's hope. Don't give up. Amen. And if you feel yourself a little wobbly tonight, this would be a good time to do some examination. And let's find out what we need to do to be fully restored to our faith and our fervency in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I think it would be good if we would just gather around here for a few minutes tonight and lift our heads and